This morning, we are wrapping up our sermon series, Experiencing God. This series began the Sunday after Easter. The resurrection of Christ has forever changed our destiny. Like the early Christians in Acts, we are called to be part of that Spirit-led movement, which will continue until He returns, proclaiming Jesus and building His community, where all people are welcome, valued, and loved. In response to that call, we are also invited to live each day in the power and reality of the resurrection. That is only possible when the risen Lord is at work in us and through us. So we have been looking at how we can truly experience the risen Lord in our daily lives. Last Sunday, I shared a slide with you to outline the seven realities of experiencing God, as Henry Blackaby explains in his book. I'd like to start with the slide again today. The Christian life is about walking in a real personal relationship with the living God. This slide shows how God reaches out to His people when they have wandered from His way, and how He invites us to return, to walk with Him, and to join Him in what He's doing. If we had never sinned, if we were truly righteous, we would have always remained where God is, walking with Him and joining Him in His divine work. We would have stayed on the godly path, the upper white arrow, from reality 1 to reality 7. And there would be no need for the path of wandering and returning, the blue arrows, from realities 2 through to 6. Romans 3:10 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." None of us are perfectly right before God. That means all of us may have parts of our lives that are not aligned with His will. We may be off the godly path in many areas, wandering and drifting from the way God wants us to live. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that there are two paths in life, a worldly path that leads to destruction and the godly path that leads to life. Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, the broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This world says, you are the center of your life. Focus on yourself. Your dreams, desires, and needs are what matter most. Live in whatever way you want. Pursue what matters to you, and build your own kingdom. The truth is, the more we focus on ourselves, the emptier we feel. We get discouraged, we get anxious, we often even become depressed. Why? Because the world doesn't evolve around us. No matter how hard you try to make life about ourselves, it just doesn't work that way. Yet so many people are still walking that dark road, never realizing why they feel so stuck and lost. However, God's way is the opposite. He wants to be at the center of our lives. He invites us to love him and to love others as ourselves. We are called to live not for our own name, but for his name. When that shift happens, when you take the focus off ourselves and put it on God and others, everything begins to change. We start to be set free from the heavy weight of greed and sin. When our lives are centered on serving God and loving others, heaven begins to open before us. And our souls finally start to be filled. This is the life Jesus is calling us into. The godly path that leads to life. It's not that easy one. But it's the path where we can truly experience God and his kingdom we have been longing for. Let me ask you, are there any parts of your life where you know you have wandered from the way God wants to live? The truth is, many people still don't even realize when they have gone off track. That's why God is moving toward us. Let's look at the slide again. This is important, and to help you remember, let me go over the seven realities again. First, God is always at work around us, whether we can see him working or not. Second, God pursues a real and personal loving relationship with us. Third, God invites us to return to him and join him in his work. Fourth, God speaks through the Holy Spirit in many ways to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Fifth, when God speaks and invites us, it often leads to a crisis of belief. That's the very moment we realize that we thought we were walking on his path, but we are not. We come to see that we have actually been following our own way, shaped by our own desires and priorities, or even our version of what we thought God wanted. It is a humbling moment. That's the crisis belief, realizing we are not where God wants us to live, wants us to be. Six, in that moment, God is asking us, will you fully trust me, leave your way behind, and adjust your life to join me? That is a moment where we are invited to decide to choose, to trust him and obey, even when it is not easy. To return to God's way, we must be willing to adjust our life to him. Obedience is costly. And that's why many people stop here and never truly experience him. It always requires a step of faith. I preached on this last Sunday. And seventh, we come to truly know God by experience as we obey him. And he accomplishes his work through us. Today, we are focusing on this, experiencing God through obedience. The Christian life is about knowing Christ, growing in him, and being transformed into his likeness. So truly knowing God doesn't come from studying with our minds or completing Bible study programs alone. Those things are valuable for our spiritual growth, but they are not enough, because Christianity is about real, intimate relationship with God. So we truly come to know him when you actually experience him. When you return to God's way by adjusting your life to him, where he's working, he will gladly welcome you. When you obey, he will accomplish things in and through you that only he can do. Why does it have to be something only he can do? If you could do it on your own, people only see you, not him. When God accomplishes something through you that is beyond your ability, everyone around you will see him. That's how we come to know him more deeply. Not by thinking about him or learning about him, but by experiencing him as he moves through our lives. If you remain in your own path, you won't be able to experience him because he's not going to come to your path and bless your own plan apart from God. Without experiencing him, you don't truly know him. And your faith will be limited and easily shaken by uncertainty or challenges. You will also miss out exciting and the life-changing experiences that God has prepared for you. God always works through obedient people. Obedience always involves full surrender. You are not the one making it happen, but he is. You need to be faithful and obedient. Let's look at Moses. God invited Moses to join him in delivering Israel. God told Moses what he was to do. Moses obeyed, and God accomplished what he had to plan to do. The plague shook Egypt. The Red Sea parted, and water, food were provided miraculously in the wilderness. Through it all, Moses and those around him came to know God more deeply. They came to know God by experience when they obeyed him, and he accomplished his work through them. Moses, who once hesitated and doubted, was no longer the same after experiencing God in action. The Moses who met God at the burning bush was not the same Moses who stood at the Red Sea. Experiencing God changed him. His faith deepened. His confidence in God's power grew, and his obedience became steady. When we experience God through obedience, we not only learn about him, but are also transformed by him. God does what only he can do through us. You just heard Moses' story as an example, and some of you might think, that's for people with a big assignment. That's not for me. However, God's assignments are not measured by the world's standards. What matters is that in every moment of obedience, God reveals himself. In every act of obedience, he does what only he can do. Let's look at the story of Joseph. Joseph's life wasn't meaningful because of his high position. What mattered to God was how he lived every single moment in obedience before God. Whether he was thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, or unjustly imprisoned, Joseph lived each of those moments in relationship with God. His life wasn't defined by his situation or his position, but by his walk with God. Because of that, every place he went, God did what only he could do through him. Every moment became a time when God was revealed. Sometimes we think God only gives us big assignment, and when we don't see something great, we feel like it doesn't matter. God's assignments are not measured by the world's standards. From a worldly point of view, there may seem to be big or small tasks, but in God's eyes, every moment of obedience is precious. God works through our obedience, and whatever he does through it, it becomes deeply meaningful because it's his work. When we look at Joseph's life, we see that even his time as a slave while in prison wasn't just preparation for something greater. Those moments were already full of purpose because he lived through them in obedience and intimacy with God. That's what made his life different from others around him. Through that, God was glorified in every step along the way. In Philippians 2, Apostle Paul encouraged us to live out our salvation with obedience because God is working in us. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Our obedience is a response to his work in our lives. Paul says that when we obey faithfully, we shine like the stars in the dark world as we go about everything we do. God's power flows through our daily faithfulness. Wherever you are, whatever your situation is, your obedience matters. God uses your faithful steps to reveal himself and advances his kingdom. When God works through us, it's all about relationship, not about getting things done. It's about knowing him deeply, walking closely with him, and letting his presence be revealed through our lives. God doesn't need our obedience to make things happen. He's all powerful and can do anything on his own. But he invites us in because He wants us close, not because He needs our help. Obedience shows our relationship with Him. It's not about religious duty, but about love and our response to who He is and how much He loves us. Isaiah 29:13 talks about people who honor God with their words, but whose hearts are far away. That's not the kind of obedience God wants. He wants hearts. He wants hearts that follow Him because they trust Him in all situations. When you obey, we actually meet Him. He moves through us. And as that happens, we get to know Him more deeply. See His faithfulness, experience His power, and sense His nearness. God works through our obedience because He wants relationship. He's inviting you into the deep joy of walking with Him and into an eternal loving relationship with Him. Let me close by sharing how Jesus reveals Himself in Scripture. He says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 10:9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 15:1, I am the true vine. And my Father is gardener. When you read these words, what image of Jesus comes to your mind? What name of Jesus, which name of Jesus is most meaningful to you at this point of your life? What parts of Jesus have you actually experienced in your life? How has knowing Him through experience changed your understanding of Him? These names are personal invitations to meet and experience Jesus in our real lives. Truly understanding Jesus comes from obeying Him, walking with Him, and living in a relationship with Him. God wants us to follow our Lord Jesus, who satisfies our deepest longings, lights our path through darkness, protects and cares for us, gives us a new life, leads us to the Father, and sustaining us every day. When we walk in obedience, we open the door for God to work through us. As we follow Him step by step, our faith grows stronger, and our relationship with Him becomes deeper. That's what God desires through our obedience. The greatest blessing of obedience is coming to know Jesus in a living, personal way and being transformed through that relationship. So instead of asking, "What can I do for God?" Let us ask, "What is God doing?" Because He's already working around us. "What is God doing? And how can I join Him?" God isn't waiting for your help, strength, or skills. He is waiting for your heart. When you say yes and obey, He moves through your life in His way. Then others see Him, His kingdom advances, and you walk in the joy of truly knowing Him. Remember, God's love for you is real, and through your obedience, He's calling you to walk with Him in a deeper way. That's why Jesus gave everything. He gave everything to bring you back, because you matter that much to God, our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. You have called us to be obedient and to experience you, not as a burden, but as a joyful invitation to walk closely with you. Teach us to trust you fully and follow wherever you lead. May we experience you more deeply as we obey, knowing that you always desire to walk through us. Fill us with your Spirit and help us live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.